What's going on, everyone? Matt Browning here, just hanging out and getting ready to do some Q&A. So, question number one, it comes from, and these are questions on NLP, questions on business. Hey, Bruce, I'm glad you joined because I'm going to answer your question right now. So these are questions on NLP, on business, on personal growth, anything at all, leadership, whatever you want to have answered. This is a way also, we're having more and more students and friends and everyone interacting, so I want to really, really create some engagement. So every Monday we're doing Q&A. So as I said, we just wrapped up recording the podcast, just finished here, and I want to jump into the first question. Question number one comes from Bruce Moreno. What's up, Bruce? And he's on right now, which is awesome. He says, and this is about NLP and communication. Bruce says, when it comes to embedded commands, and I'll explain that, is it more effective or does it make a difference if you use them in the past tense versus the present tense? So he gave an example, good examples, by the way. He said, I wonder when was the last time you sat down and focused? That's the past tense. Versus, I wonder when you last asked yourself, I should sit down and focus. Additionally, how much of a difference is there when the embedded command is heard rather than read? So that's kind of a bonus question. So let me answer that first by explaining what the heck an embedded command is. Okay, so an embedded command, the idea behind an embedded command is all about language patterns, right? It's about effective, influential language patterns. If you give someone a sentence, and we do this all the time, by the way, this is common common language. So if I asked my wife, hey, baby, could you hand me that glass? Technically, that's an embedded command. So the question I asked her was, baby, could you hand me the glass? That's a question. But embedded, right, inside of that sentence, inside of that question, was an actual command of hand me that glass, right? So what if I looked to my wife and said, hand me that glass, right? I mean, I love my wife. She got grace for me. I have never once in 7.5 years of marriage slept on the couch. But I think if I said, hand me that glass, I'm sleeping on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not going to be a good thing. So instead of directing someone in a very direct way and saying, hand me the glass, sign up for this, make a change. What are you doing? Right? Instead of doing that in such a direct way, what happens when we're too direct with people is we will get we'll hit their critical faculty. Right? It's a part of your mind that distinguishes between reality and fantasy. So when we do too direct of communication, we get that barrier in our way, and the person will stop listening. Right? Think about it. Have you ever had somebody say, give you advice and say, hey, you need to look at this, you need to stop this, you got to change this, I care about you, don't you know what you're doing, that sort of thing? Right? It doesn't really work that well. So instead, what do we need to do? We can sometimes give what's called indirect communication. Indirect communication. And rather than saying, hand me the glass, you muppet, right? We can say something like, hey, I wonder if you could hand me that glass. Hey, would you be okay if I open the door? Or would it be okay if we open the door right now? So you can get more and more direct, though. So like in a therapeutic sense, in an NLP sense, I might sit with the client and say something like, you know, it's okay if you just want to just sit down and relax right now. Notice how that works? Again, an embedded command is a command that's within an entire statement or a question. So the entire statement is, hey, you know, is it okay if we just sit down and relax right now or something like that? Yeah, it's okay. You can go ahead and just sit down and relax if you want to. The other cool part about an embedded command is it's what makes it embedded is you need to isolate it from the rest of the sentence for the unconscious mind. So again, the power of an embedded command is the conscious mind hears the complete statement. The unconscious mind hears just what's embedded. You have to do what's called marking. In NLP, we call it analogical marking or phonological marking. You want to mark out those words just so the unconscious mind knows to listen to them differently. So, hey, you know, it's okay if you want. So I say the whole sentence. I'll say, it's okay if you just want to sit back and relax. But I'm going to say the last part a little differently. I'll say, it's okay if you just want to, and I maybe pause. And then I'll say it in a little bit lower voice or a little bit louder or a little bit different of a tonality or whatever. The embedded part, which is sit down and relax. Now, what if a brand new, trepidatious client, right, uncertain, that came to me and I said, hey, sit down and relax. Who is this guy? But I said, hey, it's okay if you just want to just come in and just sit down and relax. But notice how I said the sit down and relax slower. I paused first, right? I do this on stage all the time. All the time on stage. I'm running a workshop, and it just starts coming out of your mouth. You just say things however you want to say them. It's like sometimes you just listen to someone talking, and you realize that, you know, some people know what they're talking about. And as you're listening to someone, even on a Facebook Live or live on a workshop or something, you know, the important thing is, like, you don't have to question things. You can just, like, listen and pay attention. And you'll find that you actually learn a lot more. Did you catch it? I'll bet you did, right? So I don't know what I just said. I was making it up off the cuff. But if you caught that, it was, hey, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it, blah, blah, blah. All you need to do is just listen and pay attention. And I said that on purpose a little bit extra intensely, right? But when you do the embedded command, you can say it a little bit slower or a little bit lower in voice. Or my favorite way is to add punctuation. So you can pause just before you say it. So you can say, you know, I wonder if you could just, like, hand me that glass. You know, if you want to, it's okay to just make a decision right now. Or wait, it's up to you. And it wasn't that cool, right? You can actually give people choices, but give an embedded command on one, and they're going to lean more towards maybe that direction. I should have pre-framed this, but now I'm going to post-frame and say, you should obviously have full integrity when you're using embedded commands. People aren't stupid, and if you're obviously trying to manipulate a situation, or you're trying to influence someone to do something that's bad for them, or you're gaining only from it, that kind of thing, people are going to know. And just because you said something lower and slower isn't going to make them do it. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder if you just want to hand me that $100,000 right now. It doesn't work that way. I wish it was magic. Unfortunately, it's not. All right, so that's what an embedded command is. Bruce's question, I had to pre-frame that. His question is it better to use embedded commands past tense or present tense? And I think the overwhelming answer is present tense, right? It's much more effective to say, to Bruce's question here, I'll sit back down. His example was, I wonder when was the last time you sat down and focused? Because the purpose of embedded command is we're literally making a command of the unconscious mind for someone. So how can you make a command of something that happened before, right? What's so neat about the also embedded commands is it's going to bring people's attention right to you, right? That's the entire purpose. Oh my gosh, we got 10 people. Everyone stay right there. We're all watching live. This is amazing. Really cool. So when you do an embedded command, when you're conversing with someone, what do you want to do? You want to draw their attention to the fact that there's an embedded command. You want to draw the attention to the thing that's said within the statement. That's the whole purpose, right? So if you use past tense, it's going to draw their attention after. See, when I say something already happened, our attention will begin to go to what's next. But if I say this is the thing that's happening right now, present tense, or you could use present progressive, that's the ing for you grammar nerds out there. But ultimately, you just want to be in present tense. That's the idea. So that's definitely more powerful, much stronger to say, I wonder if you could hand me that glass. Say that right now. All right, so that's embedded commands. If you want to know more about embedded commands, if you're curious about more about language, syntax, sentence structure, if you're listening to this at any point, live or later on, please, please, please put a comment down below. Oh, thanks. See you, Damien. Put a comment down below with your specific question. What do you want me to go deeper on? What would you like to know more about? What else would you like to know about with sentence structure, language, anything like that at all? I am an open book, and I've been teaching and training neurolinguistic programming for going on 11 years now. Been studying it for 16 years. I'm getting pretty good at it, so the purpose of this Q&A is that I can interact with everyone out there, and we'll have the videos up on YouTube as well, so that would be really good. All right. You know what, Damien? It is, he says, I love you in embedded command. I love you isn't by itself. I don't know if you're joking or being serious, but not by itself. But if you could embed that somewhere, like say if you wanted someone to realize that, like, love is more important than anything. You know, in fact, before I move off of embedded commands, in fact, this might be the whole topic for today and then we'll end. Let's see how the time frame goes. When you want to do an embedded command, the purpose is you want to give either something that you want them to believe or think or do that will be positive, right? You want that happening. But it's something that if you just set it right up front, it might not be as easy to believe or to do as they might think. So what if I'm an NLP practitioner, right? I'm a life coach. I want to help someone to make a massive change in life. I want to help them to shift something and really enjoy it, right? If I want someone to do that, the idea though is I want to say I want to think of that first, and then embed it into an entire conversation. So what's the thing we want someone to believe? Well, let's just say for me, I'll say a lot of times I want a client to realize that change is easy, right? But they don't always think change is easy. Sometimes they think it's really hard and it takes a long time. I don't believe that's the case. That maybe is the topic for another video. But I want them to think that change is easy. So I might embed that into an entire sentence. And you could say whatever you want. You could say, everybody has different opinions on this, and I realize that sometimes it's not as difficult as it's not as difficult as you might think to just realize that simple belief that change is easy. Or I know it might be harder than it seems to realize that change is easy. You add it in somewhere. You tag it at the end. Again, I'm doing all these off the cuff. I don't have a script or anything prepared. If we're having a natural conversation, what'll happen is you can easily start adding more and more embedded commands as you go. So keep doing that. All right. You know what? I think, let's see, I've been on for a few minutes now. I wish there was, is there a time on Facebook? I don't think there's a time on here. So I'm looking at the computer here. I got a few more minutes. Let me answer one more question. Second question is this. Sunny or Tanya says, goes by Sunny. She's a good friend of the community and a friend of NLP. She says, I know anxiety is the subconscious mind's way of getting you to focus on what you want. And that is true. That's a strong belief I have. Anxiety is a way for the unconscious, anxiety is a message from your unconscious mind telling you to focus on what you want. See, if you have anxiety, I guarantee you what you're focusing on is what you don't want to have happen. That's the problem, right? So just the nature, just the fact that you have anxiety in a moment is an indicator. It's a message that maybe you're not focusing where you want to actually focus. Excuse me. What's interesting is if you took your focus and you decided to pay attention, in the future, right? You went to the future. Like you could try this, unless you're driving, don't do this, but otherwise you try this out. Imagine you just close your eyes and imagine floating out all the way out to like 15 minutes past the successful completion of an event that you're feeling anxious about. Maybe you have to give a wedding toast or something. Well, go ahead and float out. Float out 15 minutes past the successful completion, past the time when you already did it well, and turn around and look back at the event having completed successfully. And ask yourself, where's the anxiety now? Is it there? Is it gone? Right? And if you really do that and follow the instructions, I promise you it'll be gone every time. Because you cannot physically have anxiety about something that's already happened and happened the way you wanted it to. How can you be anxious about what already happened, right? Anxiety is what we call a temporal emotion. See you, Damien. A temporal emotion or a time-based emotion. Anxiety and guilt are both the same way. So Tanya's second part is, guilt helps you check in with your values and integrity or something close to that. So she's saying that, hey, I heard anxiety is a message that's a warning from your unconscious mind. And I heard that guilt is a check-in with your values and integrity. And I would say that's accurate. I think guilt is also a temporal emotion. Guilt is actually something that has to happen in the future after an event, right? And you can try this out if you want to. Guilt is the exact opposite of anxiety. See, if you go to the future of an event that already happened well, you can't feel anxious. Similarly, if you go to the beginning, right, before an event that you're guilty about, and you turn around and you look towards the event that hasn't happened, and you realize you have choice, how can you feel guilty? So it's all an imagination thing, right? We don't feel guilty about the things that happened. We feel guilty about how we feel about the things that happened. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever had a moment where you maybe felt guilty about something that happened in the past, and then one day you made peace with it, and you realized that you did the best you could with the resources you had? In that moment, you realized that, you know what, you were a kid, and you didn't know different, or you realized it wasn't your fault at all, right? There's something else that happened. We all go through this, and what that tells me is this: if you can feel guilty one moment about an event in the past, and the next moment you get a realization and you don't feel guilty about an event in the past, the events are not the things that cause the emotions. It's our perception and the story we tell ourselves about the events. Isn't that interesting? Matt, good to see you in the UK, buddy. Good to see you. He said it's really late in the UK. It's true. It is at 6, so it's probably 2 a.m. over there. What are you doing up? Put Facebook down. Go to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. That's all right. Stay up. This will be good. So, anxiety is an awesome tool of the unconscious mind to focus on what you want. Guilt is an awesome tool of the unconscious mind to let us know the integrity of the things we've done, whether they align with our values or not. Hear me on this though. And Sonny, this is for you and anyone else. If you are hanging on to guilt, sometimes what we do is we hang on to guilt as a tool to get us to not do a thing anymore that we don't want to do. So classic example is a smoker. A smoker quits smoking, they feel great, and then one day they have a cigarette. How do they feel? Guilty. Oh my gosh, I had a cigarette. I can't believe I did that. And when they feel guilty, the problem is they beat themselves up. They feel terrible about it. Excuse me. And now I feel so bad about it. Let me ask you a question. If I'm so guilty and feel so bad, what is the best way to beat myself up and to make myself pay for the mistake I made? Have another cigarette. That's what people do, right? I attended 12-step meetings for years and years in my teens and early 20s, and I'll tell you this, one of the things I saw so often was people felt guilty when they would relapse, and we misunderstand. We think that the guilt will keep us from relapsing again. If I feel bad enough about it, I don't want to go there. The truth is exact opposite. The truth is that when we live in the guilty feeling, it'll actually cause us to punish ourselves, beat ourselves up more, and the best way to do that is by going out and doing more of the thing you know you're not supposed to do. I see it happen with binge eaters. I see it happen with you feel guilty you haven't gone to the gym. What's the best way to beat yourself up? Just stay home and feel slothful. Don't do it. If you want to beat yourself up, go to the gym and beat yourself up, right? If you relapsed or you drank and you don't want to drink, or you smoked and you don't want to smoke, or whatever it is, don't beat yourself up by going to do it again and feeling guilty. Try getting rid of the guilt. Forget about that, right? And instead of being guilty and beating yourself up, go beat yourself up by living a healthy life. Go beat yourself up by staying clean. Go beat yourself up by drinking water, right? And totally change that. All right, so that was anxiety and guilt. The final real question, we're going to wrap with this, is she said, is there an emotional, or she said, what about the emotional message and meaning of insecurity? What is the meaning of insecurity? Does anybody know? Simple question. And I'll say this. First off, I want to say, Sonny, I don't believe there's a message necessarily for insecurity. I think it's a feeling that we get, right? Not every single feeling, contrary to what some teachers will teach, I don't think every single feeling has like a meaning or a message. Sometimes we just feel a feeling and that's okay. I will say this, though, with insecurity, consider it this way, I guess. How you feel in a certain circumstance, right? So when would you feel insecure? Well, maybe someone's going out, they're going to, I don't know, ask somebody out on a date, as an example. And I feel, all of a sudden, I feel really insecure because I might get rejected. Well, what does that actually mean? Where does it come from? It comes from one simple place. Where is the source of your confidence? Where is the source of your self-esteem? Where is literally the source of your own esteem for yourself? Why and how do you know that you're already good enough? And there's two places. There's either an external place or, an internal place or an external place. External's out there somewhere. Internal's here, right? I'm hanging out in our podcast room and I'm just kind of walking around so you're not bored. I apologize if I'm making anybody dizzy, but I like having background. So if I feel insecure, the question is, how do I get my certainty of who I am? I either get it from an external source or I get it from an internal source. Now, internal sources would be myself, my own personal belief, my experience of who I have been and what I've done. It could be your spiritual belief, right? I have a belief that I was created from a loving God, Christian. So for me, I have an internal belief. An internal source, right? The Holy Spirit. I have God that tells me that I am already good enough, that I'm made whole and I'm forgiven and I'm perfect. It's awesome, right? So because I believe that internally, what happens is when I get into a circumstance, I can never let the circumstances shape how I feel about myself. I can never let the circumstances shape who I am or what my belief about myself is, what my certainty of myself is. Does that make sense? So I'll never feel, if I ask somebody, I wouldn't do that. Sorry, baby. terrible example. That was my previous metaphor. But say if I went to go talk to a new client and I was asking them out, so to speak, right? I was asking them to purchase from me. I'll never feel insecure asking someone for a sale because if they say yes, it doesn't mean anything. Other than, of course, we made money and we're helping a client and being happy. If they say no, it also doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that I'm not good enough. It doesn't mean that I failed. It doesn't mean anything that we sometimes make things mean. My source of security and my source of certainty for myself comes from my internal belief, my own internal spiritual belief. So whatever your internal spiritual belief is, if it works for you, I respect it, and I'm glad that you have that, right? I want to be clear about that. But you need to have your own personal, internal, spiritual, energetic, whatever you want, right? But you have to have a belief that allows you to know that you're already whole, strong, and confident long before you ever interact with the outside world. If you don't, what'll happen is we'll be like the canoe on a rocky sea, right? We'll be out there being tossed around from every wave that comes our way. And eventually a wave is going to crash us into the rocks and it's going to break us. The stronger your internal belief and your internal compass is about who you are, the bigger your ship becomes. And eventually you're a huge vessel that no matter what the waves throw to and fro, you'll never be rocked. You can't be shaken, right? The seas are rough out there, guys. The circumstances in life are never going to be easy necessarily, right? There's going to be things that rock us, things that rock us to our core. But if your core is stable, if your core is strong, you will be that ship. All right, I'll end with this. There's a great metaphor I heard from Tony Robbins years and years ago. He said, ships are safest in the harbor. And that's true. Ships are safest in the harbor. But that's not what ships were built for. They're built to go out in the ocean. They're built to be amongst the waves. So go out there, Sonny and everyone else. Realize that your own strength comes internal. It comes from your spiritual strength. And go out there and be amongst the waves. And realize that if you have that truly, you won't get rocked and you won't need to feel insecure. And if you ever do feel insecure, it's probably a message that says you've put your own worth outside of yourself into an external circumstance. And maybe it's time to take it back. All right, with that, I'm going to say peace out. Hope this was helpful and useful. You can also find me Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Matt Browning. You can email me. You can stop by the office. Whatever you want to do, let me know any questions you have throughout the week, and we will be answering them live on Mondays. All right, love you guys. Have an awesome day. Bye.